Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive as we talk both local and national sports. And we got to be quick today. There's so much to get into. Monday, we typically talk Major League Baseball. And we'll be joined on the show today by Bill Lasky, former Major League Baseball pitcher. He joins us every Monday to talk about the bigs. And we'll also be joined by Phil Roundy of Spencer's Wishes because we have a great community event right around the corner. It's the Swing True for Life Spencer's Wishes, a baseball clinic at Smith's Ballpark. So we have to get into that. And of course, tonight we have the national championship. Virginia will go up against Texas Tech. And as far as our tournament challenge goes, that puts Larry Wynn up against Eric Buckmiller. Eric has Texas Tech, Larry with Virginia. The winner will take home the prize package for 2019. As far as our Final Four goes, we had Nettie with Michigan State. And on the flip side of that, we had Auburn. And Auburn was a surprise team, no question. But Tyson Ackles, who has had just tremendous success in our tournament challenge, had Auburn. So for those two, you'll take home a 60-minute massage from Castle View Physical Therapy. All you need to do is come on down to the radio station to retrieve those. But again, tonight, if Texas Tech wins, it'll be Eric. And if Virginia wins, it'll be Larry taking home the prize package. And we'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. So again, we have to talk NCAA tournament. That is coming up here in just a bit. Let's dive in and take a look at what's happening in the national sports front right now in Major League Baseball. A couple of day games. The Chicago Cubs moved to 3-7, finally playing their first game in front of the home crowd. Chicago struggled to a 2-7 start on the road, but they dominated the Pittsburgh Pirates today 10-0. Jameson Taillon takes the loss for the Pirates after taking a 102-mile-an-hour line drive off the dome from Anthony Rizzo. Taillon finished out the inning. That was the third frame, if I'm not mistaken. Then he left the game. As far as the Chicago Cubs go, John Lester was scheduled to start, but he was scratched after suffering a hamstring injury. And then again, the Rays topped the White Sox 5-1. We have plenty of night baseball coming your way. 5 p.m. is when it's all going to start. The Yankees will take on the Astros. Tanaka will go toe-to-toe with Justin Verlander. Last year, Tanaka was roughed up by the Astros. 5 o'clock hour, we also get the A's at the Orioles. The Nationals will also travel to meet the Philadelphia Phillies once again. This time, it's in Philly. We saw these two squads already. Remember, Bryce Harper had a night to remember in his return to D.C., his weekend set with them. 6:15 tonight, we get the Mariners and the Royals. The Braves will battle the Rockies. The Padres travel to take on the Giants at 7:45. 8:07 tonight, it's the Brewers and the Angels. And we can't forget 5:45, it's the Dodgers and the Cardinals as well. Haijin Ryu for the Dodgers will be on the mound. He's been fantastic. He's 2-0 with a 2 ERA so far. The Dodgers, hottest team in baseball right now. 24 home runs over 10 games, and they are sitting at 8-2. So that's a rundown of what we have happening in Major League Baseball. Scheduled tonight for the NBA as we get down to it. Full slate of games tonight. We have Charlotte on the road to take on Cleveland. Detroit will play host to Memphis. Boston at Washington, 5 p.m. start time for that game on TNT. Philly will meet Miami at 5:30. 6 o'clock hour, New York at Chicago. Toronto travels to take on Minnesota. The Pelicans will welcome in the Warriors, and we get the Suns at the Mavericks. 7 o'clock tonight, and right here on KOAL, the Denver Nuggets will take on the Utah Jazz. 7 p.m. start time in that contest. Live broadcast will begin at 6:50. Houston will meet OKC on TNT at 7:30. And in the nightcap tonight, the Portland Trailblazers will take on the Los Angeles Lakers at 8:30. The Lakers topped the Jazz last night. without half their team. The Lakers are now 37-44. They've won 6 out of their last 10. What's happening in La La Land? If they'd have played like this during a stretch where they were terrible, they'd be in the postseason. It was a big loss for the Jazz last night, though. The Jazz are fighting for home court in the opening round, and that's a gimme against this Lakers squad. You can't afford too many games like that. The Jazz tonight have to take on the Nuggets, who have fallen off pace of the Warriors and now hold just a half-game lead over the Houston Rockets as we get down to the final 2 to 3 games of the regular season. So that's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Again, we'll talk some NCAA basketball. We got a lot of baseball talk coming your way, plus a weekend recap. It's straight ahead right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. It's Drive Time Sports live from the Auto Farm Studio. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school baseball, where this past Friday, the Emory Spartans improved to 7-2 in region play as they blasted through the San Juan Broncos 8-0 in Castle Dale. Coda Alton delivered a dominating performance both on the pitcher's mound and in the batter's box. Alton pitched a complete game, giving up just 4 hits, 4 walks, while also striking out 9. At the plate, Alton finished 2 of 3 with a double, 2 RBIs, and also a walk. Brax Jensen, Riggs Griffin, Easton Beagley, and Kaysen Stilson all finished with 1 RBI apiece. Again, Emory now is 7-2 in region play. They sit 1 game in the win column behind the Richfield Wildcats. Emory will have an opportunity to earn a season series sweep of the South Sevier Rams when the two teams meet on Tuesday. This contest is scheduled for a 3:30 p.m. start. We move over to Carbon High School, and the Dinos remained unbeaten in Region 14 play over the weekend as they topped the Delta Rabbits 10-0 in 6 innings Friday afternoon in helper at Ernie Gardner Field. John Zamatakis finished with 2 RBIs as he went 2 of 3 at the plate. As a team, Carbon had 15 hits, 3 of which came from Colin Lewis as he finished a perfect 3 for 3 in the box with 1 RBI and 1 double. On the pitcher's mound, it was senior Braxton Bennett who delivered a dynamic performance. He pitched just over 4 innings, striking out 5 and allowing only 1 hit. Carbon will return to the baseball field tomorrow to take on the Union Cougars. Start time for that contest is set for 3:30 p.m. We step away from high school baseball and move over to high school softball. And the Emory Lady Spartans participated in a home contest this past Friday, and they blasted through the San Juan Broncos 11-6. Keisha Johnson pitched 4 innings, giving up 4 hits and 3 earned runs, while Braylee Clark finished 3 innings, giving up 2 earned runs, while striking out 5. Adrian Childs continued her tear at the plate. She finished 3 of 5 with 4 RBIs in the win. Now, Friday's game was a region tilt, and the Lady Spartans then traveled on the road to participate in a tournament in Payson on Saturday, playing in 4 games. After suffering 3 straight losses, a 15-10 setback to Alta, 9-8 to Salem Hills, and 9-2 to Pleasant Grove, the team ended the weekend on a positive note by topping Duchesne 5-1. The Lady Spartans will now return to the softball diamond tomorrow as they take on the Carbon Lady Dinos. Right now, Emory is sitting 4-3 in region play, sitting 2 games behind North Sam Pete in the loss column in 4th place. We move over to junior college baseball, and the USU Eastern Lady Eagles earned a 4-game split with Snow College on the road in Ephraim. Moving to 6-13 in conference play, the Lady Eagles picked up a 3-2 win in the first game of the set before losing 7-6 in the second. Saturday, the two teams went at it again. The Lady Eagles won the first 15-9 before losing the finale 9-1. Again, right now, the team is 6-13 in conference play, and they are tied with the College of Southern Nevada for 4th in the division. Coming up this weekend, the Lady Eagles will return to Price as they take on Colorado Northwestern with doubleheader action on Friday and doubleheader action on Saturday. And we end by moving over to track and field, where both the Carbon boys and girls, as well as the Emory boys and girls, travel to Manti for a massive meet of about 18 schools. In the end, it was the Emory Spartan boys team finishing 2nd with 91 points, well behind 1st place Grand, who ended with 130. Richfield was in 3rd at 67, followed by Manti in 4th and Monticello in 5th. The Carbon boys team was just on the outside looking in, finishing 6th with a total of 42 points. On the girls' side of the track, North Summit was the top squad with 128 points, followed by Richfield in second with 87.5. Carbon tied with Millard for third place at 57, while San Juan and Grand tied for fourth and fifth with 50 points. The Emory Lady Spartans finished 14th as they accumulated 9 points. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios, and we have a great event that is up and coming. It comes around once a year. It's the Spencer's Wishes Swing True for Life Major League Baseball Players Alumni Clinic. And joining us in the studio right now to talk a bit about that, we have Phil Roundy of Spencer's Wishes. And Phil, I look forward to this every year.
I do.
Thank
too.
You again.
Thanks
for coming
for having
in.
Me, Jordan.
Absolutely. I know the conversations that you and I have off the air are typically just as entertaining as what we do on the air, but this is something that, boy, I'm a big believer in this event. You've been kind enough to let me cover it over the last, I don't know, six, 7, 8 years.
Oh yeah.
The turnout at Smith's Ballpark is always fantastic, and it gives kids here in the Castle Country an opportunity to go play on a big league ball field.
It really does. This year it's June 8th, Saturday, June 8th. And as always, the kids starts at 8:30, 9 o'clock. We'll open the gates at Smith's Ballpark at 8:30, get the kids registered down into the seats. The major leagues give them a good speech at the first, and then they get them out on the field, and they group them into ages. We go through a very intense fundamentals baseball clinic. Then we get them off the field about noon or 1 and give them a pizza lunch. And then everyone gets at least 2 tickets to that night's Salt Lake Bees game. And my goal is to always have them get their brothers and sisters and mom and dad all in. I try to get the whole family in. I can't bring the whole neighborhood, but your mom and dad and your siblings, we try to get everybody into the game that night to have a great time. Kids have a wonderful time. It's not long enough where the kids get bored. They get some excellent training and instruction from former Major League Baseball players and coaches, and then they get the Bees game that night. So it is an exceptional event. Little kids from Carbon County will come out of this being a little bit better baseball player. So I'm trying to focus this. This is June 8th, and this is right about the end of the Little League season, and you're going to have a lot of kids that are into travel ball, they're into the All-Stars, and I want to push the little kids that are struggling in Little League, struggling to get to play more than their 2 innings. These are the kids that really, really need the parents. You need to bring your kids to this. Even if they all are All-Stars or travel ball players, there is instruction for everyone, all age kids from the age of 8 to 17, that they'll learn something from these guys. These guys have played in the major leagues, and they're the ones that will give you the best instruction. And these guys teach me something every year. I think, man, why didn't I learn this when I was a little kid? And these kids get really, really first class education and fundamental training at this clinic.
On top of learning about the game, Phil, one of the things that I have noticed over the last 6, 7, 8 years is that these kids leave with a newfound enthusiasm for the game of baseball. And to me, that's the most important aspect of it. I mean,
it is.
Instruction is great, and you're going to get top-notch instruction, but you have an opportunity, again, to just walk out on a big league field, talk to former Major League Baseball players, and have a day where there's just not a lot of pressure. And to me, this is good for the game. It's good for youth because, look, Major League Baseball started the Play Ball Initiative to get kids involved in the game, right? To find new enthusiasm for the game. That's what this day is all built around, is enthusiasm.
Yeah, and these guys played baseball before the million-dollar contracts.
Right.
These guys played baseball because they had a passion, a love for the game. And I've tried to tell Little League coaches and officials for years that if a little kid gets to be 12 years old and says, I don't want to play baseball anymore because I didn't have a good experience, then we have failed them. The part of Little League Baseball is teaching the kids to have a love of the game, have a passion for the game. And these former major leaguers are doing this because of that, because they still have a passion for the game. Vern Law teaches our baseball part of the our pitching part of the baseball clinic because he was a Cy Young Award winner. He pitched for the Pittsburgh Pirates when they beat the Yankees in the World Series, and he won the Cy Young. The guy is in his 80s, and last year there were some 14-year-old kids that were there to learn how to pitch, and they come away in amazement at the things that Vern Law taught them. And I told they'd come and told me that. I said, Vern Law has forgotten more about baseball than I will ever know, he's forgotten more about pitching than I will ever know. And that guy showed those kids some things that they had never even dreamed of before. And they were amazed because he got on the mound and wound up and threw some pitches. And they were saying, that guy can still bring it. Yeah, and his response to that was, well, yeah, I can still pitch. The ball just doesn't get there quite as quickly as it used to. So, and he only quit pitching batting practice for BYU for about 3 or 4 years ago, and he was into his 80s, and he was still pitching batting practice. So these guys have still got it. And most thing is they still have the passion and the love for baseball, and they just want to share that with these little kids. If little kids can gain that passion and the love for the game of baseball, then our clinic is a success.
Again, we're being joined right now by Phil Roundy of Spencer's Wishes as we talk about the Swing True for Life Baseball Clinic, which is coming up on June 8th. Again, it'll be at Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake. Phil, I want to talk about the logistics of how a kid can get registered for this, because it's all free, and that's the most important thing. We're talking about this clinic. We're talking about getting to go play at Smith's Ballpark. We're talking about picking up instruction from former major leaguers and current players for the Salt Lake Bees. It is all free of charge. There's no cost.
Yeah, it's all on Spencer's Wishes dime. We pay them thousands of dollars to do this clinic, and they roll that money right back into $1,000 scholarships for high school seniors in our area. And we're taking applications for the scholarships and this clinic right now. And the way to do this is contact your Little League coach or the president of your Little League and ask them about it. They should have been contacted by now. If you can't get something from them, go to www.spencerswishes.org, click on the baseball link, and the application for this clinic pops up on that screen. If you have a high school senior that is a softball or baseball player that has lettered, and you want to put in an application for a $1,000 scholarship, you scroll to the bottom of that screen, and the scholarship application is on the same page. So www.spencerswishes.org, .com will get you there too. And click on the baseball link and you're home free. All you have to do is print this form out, fill it out, and follow the instructions on the form. Either mail it back to us or scan it into your computer and send it back to me as an attachment on an email. Either way, mom and dad sign it, fill it out, and send it back to us. And then the only thing you have to do is get your kids there at 8:30 on June 8th on Saturday morning, and they'll have the time of their lives. They have the best day of their life baseball-wise. So,
yeah, it's unique. There's no question about that. And it is important to mention, Phil, that there are limited spots available. Unfortunately, you cannot bring the entire county up. So that kind of puts emphasis and a little bit of urgency. Get signed up now.
That's right. We have a limit of 300. Now, these are baseball players. They're not rocket scientists. So if I have more than 300, I sneak a few in on them if I can. I have had to go down to the Bees and ask them to give me a few more tickets because we've had more kids than we expected. And I go down to the Bees and get more tickets. The ball players, they just work with kids, and they don't really they'd have to take their shoes off if they were going to count heads. So they don't have enough fingers and that to count. So The only logistical problem we have if we have more than 300 kids is getting more tickets and going and having more pizza brought in for the lunch. But other than that, I'll take as many kids as I can. But officially, 300 kids. So get them signed up early. The first 300 kids automatically get to go. After that, And we may have to work things if there gets to be way too many. But please sign up soon. You got until June 8th to do it. But the sooner you do it, the better.
I always tell the kids and the parents, too, if you're going to attend this event, kind of get to learn about the players a little bit before the event. That way you can go spark up, and you'll have some great conversations with these former players.
That's right. I've
had some marvelous conversations about some of the game's greatest, you know, Nolan Ryan, and I've had conversations, you know, about Willie Mays. And so outside of Vern Law, who are some of the other alumni players that we can expect to see at this event?
Well, we have Bruce Christensen comes every year. He played for the California Angels.
Has some great Nolan Ryan stories.
Yeah. We have George Theodore. Mm-hmm. Now, all the little kids that work with George know him as the Stork.
Right.
Because he's really tall and thin, and that was his nickname. He was the Stork. Great hitter. And there's some great, hilarious stories about George Theodore. What a nice man. George is one of the gems of baseball. George Theodore is huge. He played for the New York Mets.
He'll have some Willie Mays stories for you as well.
He will, too. Yeah, he played in that era. Tim Eisenhart is there.
Yep.
We've got, I said Bruce Christensen. We lost a very good member of the staff a few years ago, and he grew up here in Price. Just a minute. Herm Franks. He was a catcher for two or three major league teams. He was the pitching coach for the New York Giants the last year they played in New York before they went to San Francisco. And he was the pitching coach when Willie Mays made the catch in the Polo Grounds. And then when they went to San Francisco, Herm Franks was the very first manager of the San Francisco Giants. And he grew up above in an apartment above Oliveto's Fine Furnishings on Main Street in Price, believe it or not. That was called Frank's Studio. And his dad owned that building, and he grew up on Main Street in Price. So we've got a lot of connection to this area with these guys. Even George Theodore has his great-grandfather owned a grocery store in Helper. And I think it was named, I want to say Zeke's was the name of the Greek name of his grandfather that owned this grocery store in Helper. And so these guys have some connection here, and they're willing to spend their time and come out and teach these kids and try to get them to have a passion for the game. So a lot of kids say this is the best baseball day of their lives when they leave.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Do not miss out on this event. Again, it's going down June 8th at Smith's Ballpark. Make sure you register now. All you have to do is log on to spencerswishes.org, fill out the form, get it back to Phil, and make sure you do it before all the spots fill up. Phil, I really appreciate you taking out the time to come in. Once again, it's always fun to get you on the show and, of course, have some conversation about baseball. So thank you.
I appreciate you having me and letting me get the word out. And if anybody has any questions, if you have any concerns, questions, don't hesitate to contact me. All the information is on the form, my contact information. If you are having problems getting on the website or can't remember spencerswishes.org, give me a call, 630-0205. 630-0205. Call me anytime, and I will answer any question that you have.
Phil, again, thank you very much, and we'll see you at the ballpark on June 8th.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, we have more coming up on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Here comes a comeback.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. And I know with it being a national championship day, everybody wants to talk about the NCAA and Texas Tech and Virginia. But we also have some Major League Baseball we got to talk about. Joining us every Monday, we have Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. Spent his time with the San Francisco Giants and now works as an analyst. He's joining us right now over the phone. Bill, it's great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Hey, how are you doing? I mean, a week into the season, there's some new blood at first place, and And again, there's some old blood in first place, too. That's the L.A. Dodgers. And, man, they just have the six rolling right now. Home runs aplenty. And looks like they're going to take away that NL West because nobody's going to compete with them.
Yeah, I'm glad you opened up with the Dodgers because Cody Bellinger hit a home run last night at Coors Field that I still don't think has landed yet, Bill. This kid is off on a blistering pace. I mean, Chris Davis in the American League, Chris Davis with the A's in the American League, Cody Bellinger with the Dodgers in the National League, I think we'd have to say are probably two of the hottest hitters in the game right now.
No doubt about it. And, you know, when Bellinger, you know, if you remember, we talked about this last year when it got to the World Series, I never played him. You know, he was kind of the odd man guy out, never played against lefties. Now he's playing every day and proving them wrong. The whip in his bat, the swings that he makes, I mean, totally all home run swings, but he's making them and he's making contact as well as you said, Chris Davis. These guys are your home run leaders right now. And we're going to see if there's any changes some of these teams are making to pitch against these guys.
Well, and as far as Bellinger goes, Bill, he was not good last season in the postseason. I think he hit something like .115, if I'm not mistaken. It was horrible in the postseason, and the Dodgers still got to the World Series, but that absence of his bat was obvious in the World Series. He's not going to hit .445, obviously, throughout the season, but if Bellinger is around that, I don't know, .295, .300 mark, I mean, that could pay huge dividends for the Dodgers moving forward.
There's no doubt. I mean, that team is different now, of course, Puig with Cincinnati and the brawl yesterday with Puig. But again, there's a different life in this team. There's different people now that are center stage. And there's no doubt Bellinger is one of them. And, you know, you go up and down this lineup. Kiki Hernandez is starting off really hot, too. And you know, they do have a lot of talent in that lineup and different style of baseball a little bit, more, you know, driving the ball in the gaps, home run hitters. But right now, I think they have, 24 home runs already, and the season's only about a little more than a week over.
24 home runs, 10 games. I mean, it's fairly phenomenal. And look, they could be 10-0. I mean, they have two losses. If the bullpen doesn't let them down, they're 10-0.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we talked about what teams could contend with them. San Diego, Colorado, the Giants, Arizona. I just don't think they have enough in the tank to go against this team.
I agree. But there is one team in the National League that's right there with them at 8-2, and it's the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers have an identical record to the Dodgers, not putting up the runs as the Dodgers. Dodgers have scored 84 runs to the Brewers 53. But I don't think this should be a surprise to anyone, Bill. This is a Brewer team that was one game away from the World Series last season. They have the reigning MVP in Christian Yelich, and so far they've been pretty good. They've scored runs when they needed to. They won a game that was 13-10 against the Cubs. They've also, you know, won games on the road, 1-0 against the Reds. So they've been pretty versatile as well throughout the first 10 games.
100% correct on all that. And I love this team. I just think that building it up a couple new players here and there. Mustakas is now playing second base. They've changed a couple things in their lineup, but yet they're still producing runs. Bullpen's a little shaky. I'm sure they'll tighten that up, maybe another starting pitcher. But right now, I just don't think the Brewers are cooling off. I think they have enough talent, and if they don't, they're going to go get it. And some of the players that are hitting very well, of course, you said Yelich, he's just been on fire the first 7, 8, 9 games. So we'll see what Craig Counsell has up his sleeve as they keep moving forward as season grows.
Bill, let's stick with the Central here for a moment, because one team that has not performed well, they haven't played a home game yet either. They're actually playing their first home game right now, the Chicago Cubs. They're at 2-7, and right below them, the Cincinnati Reds, a team that you did just mention a moment ago with the brawl yesterday with Puig. I thought the Reds were kind of like a wild card at the beginning of the season. We didn't really know what to expect. They tried to beef up that rotation. The Cubs, however, they were a lot of people's pick to maybe finish second in this division, but boy, things have been bad for this team out of the first 9 games.
It sure has, and you know, they're hitting the ball, they're just not pitching well, and then when they pitch well, they're not hitting, and they just have been scuffling. As you said, their first home game today, so you're looking at the first 10 games on the road, and they scuffle through it. You know, Baez is hitting okay. You know, you've got a couple people in that lineup that are doing what they can do, but they're just not gelling at all. There's no great offensive numbers yet. There's no great pitching yet. And you just wonder what's going to happen as this season progresses, as your manager's contract's up at the end of the year, and you just wonder what they're going to do, if they're going to get rid of him quicker than we think.
Well, Bill, I was having this conversation with a Cubs fan over the weekend, and we were talking about the struggles with this team. And to me, it's really this simple. You go back 3-4 years ago when the Cubs had back-to-back dynamic years, they had four starters that pitched at least 30 games, and they were led by Jake Arrieta, who was, I mean, a pretty regular, I guess we could say, contender for the Cy Young there for a moment. Now you take a look at this rotation. John Lester is a shell of his former self. Cole Hamels had his struggles last year in the AL. Change of scenery worked. But really, over the last two games, he's got one quality start under his belt. Hendricks, I know they just gave him a contract, but he's a middling man in a rotation. Quintana's not the same guy that they got from Chicago. And then you have Yu Darvish. To me, it is the rotation that stands out to me in the difference between the Cubs 2-3 years ago to today.
Boy, you're right on point again. Are these guys going to be able to compete? Their ages are getting up there. How many bullets are left in the arm on some of these guys? You hit it perfectly when you said Kyle Hendricks is more of a 3-4-5 starter. He's not that 1 or 2 anymore. Lester, is he going to be able to compete? You're 100% right when you look at the years back when the starting staff was just so solid. And now these guys are starting to get up in age. They're starting to, you know, show a little care in there. They're not competing through 5-6 innings. Of course, they only want to get up through 5 innings anymore. But it's just going to see what they're going to do. And I don't think they're going to sit back. I think they're going to either start making a few trades, get rid of some people, and seeing what they can do to build a Cubs history again. Because this team is too good to be down in the bottom of the league.
How bad are the Cincinnati Reds, Bill?
You know what? You and I talked about the Reds, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago. I thought they had a good nucleus going. I really thought the pitching staff was strong and Puig was going to have a good year and some of the other guys. But, you know, when you're looking at this team now, they just can't get a win to buy. I mean, they're just struggling offensively. They're pitching. I thought Sonny Gray would do better than what he's doing, and he's back to the Yankee-type pitcher where he can't even get out of 1 or 2 innings.
Yeah, it hasn't been good, and they're losing games. They have found a variety of ways to lose games, and really when you look at that rotation, Desclafani, I guess, was okay. Tyler Mahle gave him a pretty solid start. Outside of that, they really have nothing. And you mentioned Puig. Everybody was talking about Puig's power at the Great American Ballpark, and he's batting like a .111 and has yet to go yard so far this season. I was watching the game yesterday with my buddy who's a big Cincinnati Reds fan. And when the brawl broke out, he said, well, at least Puig has some fight in him. And I thought, you know what, that's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment for the way this team has played so far.
But you know what, is he going down as a baseball player or a baseball brawler?
Because right.
It seems like he wants to brawl and everything.
Yeah.
And he's strong enough like a bull, he probably could take 2 or 3 guys. But, you know, when Votto pushed him away, remembers when the Giants got into it, when he went after Hundley and he pushed people away to get back at him. You know, the league really has to suspend him and take some money away from him because he is starting too many of these brawls and it's getting to be, you know, outrageous, his temper and just the way that whole thing interacted. Yeah, I'm a little astonished that arts are thrown behind a guy's head, behind his back. There's other ways to do it. You know, he's a showman, too. You know, he's an entertainer jumping off the mound, walking backwards, sideways. So, you know, you got to take a one to the other. I mean, he did hit the ball in the water, and he did hit it very far, and he watched it. And you saw Archer on the highlights where he was watching him. So things are brewing. It's not going to end. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be some discipline here, some suspensions, but there's also going to be some more stuff on the field as the year continues.
Okay, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. Bill, a couple of other topics I want to discuss before I let you go. We'll jump to the American League, and we'll start with the Baltimore Orioles. Right now, we mentioned Chris Davis. I got to make this perfectly clear. Chris Davis with the A's. He spells his name with a K. I'm going to talk about Chris Davis, who spells his name with a C for the Baltimore Orioles. He has not had a hit since last September, and this is after signing a 7-year contract with the Baltimore Orioles. Things have been terrible for this guy so far. 23 at-bats, no hits, 2 RBIs, 4 walks so far this season. His batting average is 0 9 games into the year.
Yeah, not a good start right there, for sure. And I really believe once he signed that big, lengthy contract, boy, he just put pressure on himself, and he has not come out of the blocks at all. And the Orioles are maintaining okay. They're going to sink because they don't have the talent to compete. But this is a guy that I just wonder, is he done? Is his career over? Did the money change his style of playing baseball? But you hit it right on the head. I mean, is there something mechanically wrong with him, physically wrong with him? Because he's got all the dynamics to be a great Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. It really is. And if we stick with the AL East, another team that is struggling out of the gate is the Boston Red Sox. When someone says World Series hangover, is that a legitimate thing, Bill? For as long as you've been around the game and you see these squads, you know, the Dodgers had it last season coming off of that World Series loss. They were injury plagued, but they played terrible for about the first 2 months of the season before they got it right. I mean, is the World Series hangover a real thing?
It could be, but, you know, you got guys signing some big contracts. I just didn't like them. The fans booing them yesterday at their home opener. I thought that was very unprofessional, getting their rings, and it's just, you know, it's just not right. The biggest thing with the Red Sox, I watched them play out here when they played Oakland, and they just didn't have the energy. You know, they were trying to do too much instead of playing solid baseball, and they got clobbered by the A's. Now, of course, the A's go over to the Astros, and the Astros take 3 from them, but it's just going to be interesting to see now they're home, see how they, you know, rejuvenate that fire and see if that's going to get them going playing at Fenway.
Bill Lasky, again, former big league pitcher. Always great to get you on the show, Bill. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, at Lasky19 on Twitter and KMBR Radio 680. We're on this coming Saturday, so you can check us out on podcast over there, too, and we're on Saturday night. We're going to do a night show this week, 7 to 10. So if anybody wants to join in, come on over. KMBR 680, the sports leader out of San Francisco.
Looking forward to talking with you again, Bill, here relatively soon. Thank you so much for the time. It's always a pleasure.
Always too, talking to you, too. Thank you.
We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and end by talking NCAA tournament. That's coming up next here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Zero name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back to put the final touches on this Monday edition of the show. I'm going to move over to talk college basketball. Tonight, big game, national championship. We get Virginia and Texas Tech. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Eric Buckmiller, he'll be cheering for Texas Tech. Larry Wynn will be cheering for Virginia now that we are down to the final two in our NCAA tournament challenge. Travis Anderson joining us for this last segment. Who do you like tonight?
I like Texas Tech. I like the way Texas Tech is playing. That game against Michigan State wasn't really as close to that score. It indicates Texas Tech, you know, kind of blitzed them. Virginia, it's going to be low scoring. I'll tell you that much. Both teams are very good defensively. This is going to be low 50s. I just like the way Texas Tech is playing a little bit more than Virginia.
Of course, we're going to talk about Jarrett Culver. And I think Culver's just a terrific story. We're talking about a kid that really wasn't even that sought after. Now tonight, if he has a solid performance, which I expect him to because he's averaging over 21 points a game in the tournament, if he has a solid performance tonight, he's a top 5 pick in the NBA draft here in a few months. And to me, that's a terrific story. But the guy that we have to talk about for Texas Tech, it's Matt Mooney. Matt Mooney was the guy that helped Texas Tech get over the hump to beat Michigan
State. Transfer, right?
Yeah, transfer, exactly. So really, when you look at this team, they have a couple of players that I really, really like. But on the flip side, we talk about Virginia. This is the other thing, okay? And I want to dive into this in just a moment. I hope tonight's game is watched. I hope people watch it. I know Texas Tech and Virginia, it doesn't really move the needle. But
it's not one of those big name, you know, like the Kentuckys or the Dukes. Or
there's
North
no blue
Carolinas.
Blood here.
Yeah, it's just, it's two teams that never won.
But you have DeAndre Hunter and Jarrett Culver, both will be top 10 picks. Like, we're so obsessed with Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett and Coby White. I mean, we could sit here. I could throw names out over and over about all these players here from these blue blood schools. Cam Reddish. Here's the fact. These two teams have two of the best players in the country on their teams, and that's why they're playing in tonight's national championship game. There's no question.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, and I love Coach Beard of Texas Tech. Love the way he has his team going. So I think Texas Tech's a better team. I think they get it done tonight.
I don't think they're the better team, but I think they do get it done. I think they win tonight as well. I'm going to go with Texas Tech. If you like defense, you're going to like this game an awful lot tonight, if you like defense, because the Red Raiders, they, and you mentioned Chris Beard, he's a disciple of Bob Knight. Okay, so he preaches the same defensive techniques that Bob Knight did. The defense is based on pressure, not full court pressure like Virginia, but tight man-to-man defense. They don't want to give you any room to breathe. That's what they did to Michigan State. That's what they are going to do tonight to Virginia. And so from a defensive standpoint, I think tonight's game is very interesting. It's not all that different from what we're going to see from Virginia, but they run the pack line defense. It's a little bit different. Biggest difference is Texas Tech, they were ranked 11 this year in forcing turnovers. Virginia was like 200 and something. Okay, so Texas Tech can turn, they can turn defense into offense in a hurry, and that's what they're going to have to do in tonight's game if they want to get a win.
Yeah, and Texas Tech, if they can pull it off tonight, they will join the 1985 Villanova squad as the only team to beat four top two seeds. So, you know, Michigan, they beat Michigan, Gonzaga, and Michigan State. Where in 85, Villanova beat number one Michigan, number two North Carolina, number two Memphis, and number one Georgetown.
So wait, Texas Tech would beat. Say that again.
So Texas Tech, they beat Michigan, who was correct, a 2 seed, Gonzaga, who was a 1 seed, Michigan State, who was a 2, and if they win tonight, beat Virginia to 1.
Yeah. Wow.
So those are the only two schools that, you know, Villanova right now. So if Texas Tech pulls it off, those two.
Yeah, we always talk about the road to the national championship and who you have to get through. There's no question that Texas Tech has been the best team in this tournament, right? When you look at who they've had to go through to get to where they are tonight.
Hot Michigan team.
Yeah.
And then a team that everybody was picking to get to the national championship in Gonzaga. A lot of people were picking that.
Yep.
And then a team that I thought was going to win it all in Michigan State.
Yep.
You thought that as well.
I thought that at the beginning of the tournament. I thought Michigan State was going to win it.
And then, I mean, if they go through Virginia, I mean, they've earned it.
Yeah, but this is also the ultimate redemption story for Virginia
I'm
tonight
with you
as
on
well.
That, yeah.
Do not forget, they were the first team, the first 1 seed to lose to a 16 just last season. And between the 2 years, they won like 64 games. In 2 seasons.
It'd be sweet for them, to, you know, from what they went through last year as players and as a team to lose that 16 and then come all the way back a year later and finish the job.
I'm going with Texas Tech. I think this game, lower scoring, 63-60, Texas Tech. It's going to be something along the lines of that. Low 60s, high 50s. I don't see this being a real high scoring game. And give me Texas Tech by 3. I think we have an entertaining game tonight.
Take Texas Tech 59, Virginia 55.
So you agree. It's going to be high 50s, low 60s.
I do. They're just too good defensively, both squads. And at times they go through dry spells offensively trying to score points as well.
Okay, so if it is in fact Texas Tech, Jarrett Culver is selected where in the NBA draft?
I'd say top 10.
I think he goes top 5. If they win it tonight, I think he goes top 5. I think right now he's borderline top 5. Zion's number 1. Ja Morant is number 2. You probably put R.J. Barrett in the top 5. Coby White's got to be in the top 5. Yeah, I think Jarrett Culver's right there. I really do. And I think that if Virginia wins it, don't forget DeAndre Hunter's a 6'7", 225-pound sophomore. I mean, this is a guy that can play multiple positions as well. He's floating around the top 5 is, you know, and again, we got so wrapped up in Zion mania, right? The Dukes and the Blue Bloods, that we are forgetting how good these two teams that are playing tonight really are. And my biggest complaint about college basketball has been the best teams never really decide once we get to the round of 32 or the round of 16. That wasn't the case this year. We didn't have a lot of upsets. It seems like the best teams did, in fact, win. And I think we have, I think that you have a legitimate argument. If you were to tell me that Texas Tech and Virginia are the two best teams in the country, it's hard to argue based on what Texas Tech had to do to get here.
No, I'm with you. You can't argue it. I mean, in years past, you probably could, but not this year.
Texas Tech has gone through a gauntlet to get to this point.
They have.
Virginia has been one of the best teams in the country for the last two seasons.
They have. Yeah, you can go back two, three seasons. I'm with you. I agree with you.
Should be a fun one tonight. Again, best of luck to Eric and Larry. We'll talk about their prize package on the show Wednesday, because tomorrow we will have Carbon High School baseball for you right here on KOAL. He is Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Busker. And be safe. We are out.